The musicians.
Let's start by committing our time to the Lord, and we'll have a look at God's word tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come as needy people who need a touch from you. Lord, we need reminders, as your word tells us. We need a word of encouragement, exhortation, at times rebuke. And Lord, whatever it may be tonight, I do pray that your Spirit will be the one who ministers your word to in that perfect way, that Lord, we may go away rejoicing and thankful that we've been in your presence and in the house of God this night. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, at times I hear people say, and I'm sure that many more people think, something along the lines of, I wish I had a normal family. If only I had a normal family, things would be so much better. Maybe you've thought that in the past. Maybe you're thinking that right now. Maybe you're an adult sitting here tonight and you're thinking, if only I grew up in a normal family, then I wouldn't have all these hang-ups, all these self-doubts, all this insecurity that I have. If only I had a normal family, then I would have been able to grow up and be really what God would want me to be. Maybe that's how you think. Maybe you're a parent, and you might think to yourself, if only I had a normal family, then I could be the parent that I want to be. And I could be so much happier if I had a normal family. Maybe you're a young person and you're thinking, if only I had a normal family, then I would be so much happier. I could be like others. I could grow up and serve the Lord so much better if I had a normal family. Often people can look at others who are happy, who are walking close to the Lord, and you can easily think, yeah, it's easy for them. They have a normal family. My family is full of drama, so it's so much harder for me. And often people use that as an excuse. People often feel like as though they're held back from being what God would have them to be because of the upbringing they had and the family they had or have at this present time. And knowing that that's how many people feel and often how people think, it got me thinking last week actually, what is a normal family? So what I thought is the best thing to do is to discovering what a normal family is to go to the Word of God. This way you can see if you had a normal family while growing up. You can see if you have one now that the family that you're creating is a normal family or not. You can see from God's word if your family's normal. And so in doing that, I thought to myself, where better to start than the very beginning? If there's ever a family that would be normal, surely it would be one where we know God, without any doubt, made sure this man married the right woman and vice versa. There's no doubt. And that, of course, is Adam and Eve. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, would you please? We read this about Adam and Eve. And I was saying to Eve this morning, how's it feel when Eve is mentioned? And she's always in a negative light, isn't she, poor old Eve? Like, in the Bible, one. Well, it doesn't get any better tonight, Eve, I'm sorry. chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her and he did eat. Now, if you know the context of this verse, you'll know that what Adam and Eve did at this time is they directly disobeyed God. The first parents, can you imagine, were sinners. And they willingly rebelled against God. Not only that, even worse, their sin affected their children. Their children became sinners. And so their children had to suffer due to their own parents' disobedience. Okay, well, let's have another little look. We also know that Adam and Eve, they started off with a little family. Two boys. What a lovely little family. Yet we know that one of the boys was righteous and the other boy wasn't. He didn't love God. In fact, we know that he was jealous. He had a problem with anger. And we read in chapter 4, verse 8, "And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." And so the first family that we know God put together had parents who blatantly disobeyed God, and their sin affected their children. They had one child who loved God, and they had one who didn't, and the one who didn't was especially jealous and had an anger problem and killed the other one. Now, surely that's not a normal family. If you had that in your family, would you think you had a normal family? Surely that's not one. Let's keep looking for a normal family. Let's go to Abraham. You know, Abraham is the man of faith, the father of our faith, we're told. A man who loved God, and God loved him. In fact, God made so many promises to him. And we're told in God's word that he married Sarah. But we do discover that they had a problem. Sarah couldn't have children. And so even with this man of God, they had some problems straight away. They couldn't have children. There was a physical problem in their family in that regard. Now, we do know that Sarah suggested that Abraham take her handmaiden for Abraham to be able to bear a son. Now, that is crazy when you think about it. But even crazier still, Abraham agreed to this. And so he had a son from this now becoming really his second wife. And then he ends up having a child with Sarah. So now he has a wife from Sarah. He has a son. And then he has another son from the handmaiden as well. And those two sons clashed and there were problems. And then the two mothers, the two wives clashed as well. And so what was Abraham's solution out of all this? I'll just send one of them away. The handmaiden, you can go and take your boy and we can have peace. Now, I'm telling you, that's a very messy family. That's a messy family with a lot of dramas. And so surely that's not a normal family. I think we need to keep looking. Let's think of Moses. You know, Moses, one of the greatest prophets of God, a man used by God more than probably anyone else, a man who spoke to God face to face, and for someone to be so godly and so close to God, surely he was raised in what you would call a normal family. We know the story. Unbeknownst to Moses, he was sent down the river in a basket in order to save his life. I suspect none of us have had that happen to us. We know that he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, we assume a single woman. Thankfully, his older sister followed and suggested, "Do you want me to take this baby back to his mother and she could feed him until I can wean him?" And she said yes to that. So he got to go back to his birth family until he was weaned, and then he was taken from his mother and he had to grow up being looked after by what we would call a single mum. And so if you put it in today's terms, Moses was adopted by a single mum and was cut off from his birth family. When you think about it. Surely being cut off from your birth family, adopted to a single woman and being raised in that way is not normal. So we'll put that one aside as well. What about Moses himself? Turn to Exodus chapter 18, verse 5. Moses, being the godly man that he was, surely he had a very normal family. He knew what he should do. Now, I'm not going to make him look any worse than he than he should, but we know that he married and he had one wife, so that's good, and he had two boys. But have a look in Exodus 18, verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. You know, if you have a read of the story of Moses and his family, it appears that for a lot of the time, Moses' wife and his two children lived with Grandpa. And he looked after them while Moses was very busy serving God in all these other ways. Now, you might not think much of that, but if you've had a father who never seemed to be around, regardless if he's off serving the Lord or just playing with toys and doing whatever he wants, if you grew up with a father that never seemed to be around, you wouldn't be sitting there thinking, well, I had a normal family. Just the way it is. How about Jacob, the prince of God, Israel? Now, Jacob, he had 12 sons and quite a few daughters. You'd think he would be a good father. Surely he has a normal family. Well, let's just skip over the fact that all these kids came from four wives, all right, for starters. But we know that his family was full of jealousy. We know his sons were happy to do what they did to Joseph. And we know all the story of that. We know that they were willing to tell a lie to their own father, which brought great sorrow to him, just so they can cover up what they did to Joseph. And if you read the story of these boys, I tell you what, the things they did to the tribes around them, they were not very nice sons, all right? He would have been, he was embarrassed. He made their name stink among the other nations, the things that they did. That's just them. And if you stop and consider Joseph being one of the sons of Jacob and how he obeyed God, he loved the Lord, trusted the Lord with such a good and godly testimony, you would think surely he didn't come from a normal family. Yet he was able to do all that. I was struggling to find a normal family. What about Samuel? Samuel was a man of God, used by God. God spoke to him when he wouldn't speak to anybody else. Surely he had a normal family. Well, he was given up by his mum, righteously, when he was around four, to live in the temple and be looked after by the priest. That's a little bit different for me. So he basically had a stepfather in Eli the priest. And coming with the stepfather comes some stepbrothers as well. And we know how immoral and how wicked these people are. And so he grows up hundreds of kilometers away from his family, being looked after by this strange man with these strange sons. Let's try a girl, Esther. We love the story of Esther and how bravely she willingly put her life on the line for God and her people. So what's her normal family? Well, her parents were most likely killed when she was young. She was raised by her uncle in a far and foreign land. And I'm sure if you sit here tonight and you had a testimony, well, my parents were killed when I was young and I had to be raised by my uncle, you wouldn't be sitting here thinking I had a normal family. Let's just try one more, all right? Hezekiah, turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. This is what we read about Hezekiah. Starting at verse 1, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 and 5 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. He's going to have a great, great time. You can't go wrong when your mum's Abby, surely. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehashtan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that, get this, after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And so here we see Hezekiah, he not only loved God and obeyed God, he was this shining light amongst all the kings of Judah, one of the greatest and godliest kings of all. And so surely someone like that, having a mum called Abby as well, would have to have grown up in a normal family. Turn over to 2 Chronicles, would you please? 2 Chronicles 28. Don't worry, Levi, his dad's name wasn't Levi. All right. 2 Chronicles 28. Remembering that Hezekiah became king after the death of his father, and he was 25 years at the time. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. That was Hezekiah's father. Now get this, he was 21 years when he began to reign. He reigned for 16 years as king, and so he died when he was 37 years old. Hezekiah was 25 when he began to reign, and so his father was 12 years old when he was born. Now that's different. Let's read on. What do we learn about Ahaz? But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And so Hezekiah had this dad who was only 12 years older than him, and he also, it seems, or his dad burnt his brothers and sisters in the fire and sacrificed them to false gods. I'm suspecting Hezekiah had to watch his father do that. Now I tell you, if you're a little bit nervous about your dad for one reason or another, I'm guessing this is really nervous. Is dad going to decide to burn me, or is he going to stick to the other ones? That's a scary thing. And so Hezekiah may have been one of the most godly kings of Israel, but surely he didn't have a normal family. Well, I'm not sure if it's clicked yet, but what I've been looking at are normal families. Normal isn't very nice. That's what I want you to get. Don't mistake normal with perfect. There are no perfect families. There are what you may call very rare families. What we might think is the ideal family. But we can sing that hymn about a Christian home, but that doesn't mean you still have one of them. You know, you might have that rare ideal family where the dad loves the Lord with all his heart, the mum loves the Lord with all his heart, all the children love the Lord with all their heart, and that family doesn't suffer any tragedy whatsoever, and that family doesn't have to face any sicknesses ever, and everything is just beautiful. But even if that is a reality for someone in their family, even these rare families still have their problems that most people just don't see. I'm here to tell you, most families are normal. You see, normal means typical. The typical family has problems because we live in a fallen world, a sin-cursed world, and we're surrounded by sin-riddled people. And it consists of parents who make mistakes, who disobey God, and oftentimes their mistakes affect their children as well, just like it did with Adam and Eve. A typical family has arguments and conflict like Jacob's family does. And sometimes people can be really unkind and not what they ought to be towards one another. A typical family often has an absent father or a mother like the sons of Moses. It often has a stepfather or a stepmother or only one parent or no parents, and you get raised by someone else like Esther or Samuel or Moses. And what I can tell you is we may all come together and we all have our different families and we may have all different upbringings, but none of us can say, or all of us should be able to say, we have a very normal family. One that's had to grow up in a sin-cursed world with sin-riddled people, and for one reason or another, we've had to have our own type of problems. You know, some of these are caused by the sins of parents, and you might be able to reflect on that. Sometimes the problems are caused by the sins of children, and you might be able to reflect on that. Sometimes it's caused by this sin-cursed world, and things go wrong that are out of your control. There is a tragedy within your family, out of your control. There is a sickness or an illness that comes into your family, and it's out of control. There is poor actions by others that you couldn't help, that was out of your control, but that has brought problems within your family. The fact is, as I said, we live in a sin-cursed world surrounded by sin-cursed people. The only difference is between some people is some will use their family that they grew up in or they have as an excuse to live that fleshly sinful life. They use it as an excuse. They say they're never going to be able to be or do what God wants because their family was a mess. Yet while others would trust God to help them despite their very normal family. In fact, some will even go further and trust the sovereignty of God, that God, even in all this mess, knew what I could handle and He would only allow what He could use to bring glory to His name and thank Him for it. And instead of being bitter with God, they're actually thankful for their normal sin-riddled family. You know, Linda had a very normal family. It was a family that was very broken. She had unsaved parents. Her dad loved to gamble, loved to drink, and ran out on her mother when she was four. Then her mum really struggled to cope with that and had quite a few trips into the mental hospital. Because she was there and couldn't look after the children, Linda would go stay with her auntie, and she'd be back with her mum. Then she'd go to a foster home, back with her mum, go to another foster home, or maybe the dad, then back to home. Until one day they were on a holiday home for foster children so they could find somewhere to put them. And she was fostered out to a Christian family when she was 11. And she got to stay there till she was 19. And even that family broke up because there was immorality within that family. Christian family. But she had a very normal home life in this sin-cursed world, surrounded by sin-cursed people. Yet, if you talk to Linda, she'll thank the Lord Jesus for it. Because when she was taken to that foster family, that last one, they took her to a church that preached the gospel, and she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and she found her Savior. She's not bitter with what happened. She's thankful for what happened. And the bonus is she found me as well. Right? That's just a little bit extra. Right? The cherry on top. God was able to take that broken life and bring glory to Himself. And be very sure that God's in the business of using broken things for His glory. You know, when that woman came in with that alabaster box when Jesus was visiting Simon, says that she broke the box and poured it upon His head. And that ointment, the smell filled the room and brought glory to Christ. He was able to use something broken to bring glory to Him. When that bread was brought to Him with all those thousands, He broke the bread and everyone could eat. Without the breaking of that bread, they wouldn't have been fed. And we have the ultimate, and that is the Lord Jesus, where it says, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." The fact that Christ allowed His body to be broken shows us He can take broken things and use it for His glory. God loves taking broken things and using it for His glory. That way, no one can take the credit but Him. And that's the type of miracle that God wants to do in you. That's the blessing. And it doesn't matter what sort of normal family you have. If you have a family that's full of dramas, you don't have a family like others may have. You only have one dad, one mum, or stepfather, and that's it. Or you have sickness and troubles and ill health and whatever it is, whatever God has allowed really in this sin-cursed world, God can take that broken, normal life and He can use it for His glory if there is one thing He can see. And that is inside you a broken and contrite heart. That's all He needs. And if you will allow your heart to be broken and say, "Christ, I accept whatever You have allowed, and please use whatever it is, my life, for Your glory," He will take that and bring glory to Himself. Now, I wonder, have you been letting Him do that? Or have you got bitter with God? Because you don't think that you've had a normal family. I'm here to tell you, as a pastor, you soon learn what normal is, and these are normal families. You didn't have a perfect one, but that's no problem for God. He's in the business of using broken, sinful, normal families for His glory. I trust that'll be an encouragement to you.